Started well.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Tim Wick, Nick Glover, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week's Geeks Without God was recorded at Convergence. We talked with Jason Tebow and Stephanie Zvan from Free Thought Blogs about the ancient alien debate that took place at Convergence.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
And welcome to our next episode of Geeks Without God. My name is Tim Wick. I'm here with Molly Glover.
Hello.
And Nick Glover.
Hi.
And our guests this week on our podcast are free thought bloggers Stephanie Zvan.
Hello.
Hello. And Jason Tebow.
Hello.
And your name, as we discussed, unfortunately, is pronounced exactly the same as Tim Tebow, although it's spelled differently.
Very, very unfortunate, but I'm hoping to create a new meme where I get down on one knee and give the double deuce the two middle fingers.
That's a good idea.
I will do what I can to perpetuate
yes.
that.
Excellent.
Yeah, we will do anything.
It's Tebowing, but you yeah. spell it the right way.
Exactly.
As I mentioned, you both write for Free Thought Blogs, which yes. you can read at freethoughtblogs.com,
yes.
right? Not org. I get that all messed up.
.com/org/net.
We have
more.
Free thought. Yeah. Do you have like freethoughtblogs.xxx?
I don't know if we have that one yet.
We actually don't have the other ones. Somebody else created a freethoughtblogs.org a long time ago, and I'm pretty sure the domain is still registered, but it doesn't go to us. So,
but it's, and they don't do anything
yeah,
with
just
it, right?
No.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
freethoughtblogs.com.
Yep.
And what we wanted to talk, what I thought we should talk about. We are recording this podcast at Convergence 2012, and one of the things that took place at Convergence 2012 was an ancient alien debate.
Debate might be generous.
If you want to call it that.
And
sure.
Let me preface this by saying I feel a little bad. The person who is the primary person on the pro alien side is a friend of mine, and he's a nice guy who I feel is completely wrong. On this issue, but it sounds like he just got eviscerated. And I had thought he might, you know, do some research or something so that he wouldn't be a complete...
Research into aliens being creating us?
Let's let Stephanie and Jason talk
right.
a little bit about it. So anyway, it was Scotty Roberts, and I can't remember the other person who was on the pro
no,
alien
and he,
side.
He got really kind of drafted at the last minute, so he didn't
yeah,
have a lot to say anyway.
I drafted him because I wanted to have two people on that side, and I thought Scotty would probably talk enough for both of them, which it
he
sounds
did.
Like, yeah.
yeah.
And then on the anti-alien side was P.Z. Myers and Greg Layden, which is really...
Overkill.
Really.
yeah.
Half of one of them could have dealt with it.
But I wasn't able to be there. So I would like to hear about the experience of watching the ancient alien debate at Convergence 2012.
Well, I will start by noting that I did tweet you partway through to let you know that ConCom might need to have first aid there for all the face palming that was going on.
There's a very violent slap.
yeah. It was one of those debates where one team shows up and says, I've got my iPad in front of me, I've got some references if I need them. The debate moderator was Desiree Schell, who's the host of Skeptically Speaking, who, you know, said, here's the format, I'm going to hold everybody to this, be prepared to do this then. And the other team says, I don't have a degree or references or... a lot of scientific information, but I'm gonna argue this from kind of a philosophical
point
of
view. I
have
a lot of anecdotes I can recall.
he did actually eventually bring up a few points.
Yeah, problem being, he brought them up outside of the evidence period, because, you know, that's how debates work. You bring up the evidence, and then the other person gets to argue against it.
Yeah, and I confess I was really surprised that he was unprepared. You know, I
he's written a book.
He's written a book. And to me it's like, and I again, he's a friend, so I don't want to completely rip him to shreds, but you've written a book, you want to sell it. And there had to be a few people in that room that probably agree with him.
Probably.
Or at least, like, open to hear his side of it.
Or would have bought the book for the laughs. I don't mean that meanly, but...
If he'd availed himself of that opportunity, he could have sold some books. And
yeah. Well, one of the things that goes on with a lot of these people, and I think it's happened in past years here when the ghost hunters have been here, is they largely don't speak at places where they don't have a really friendly audience.
Mm.
So they don't feel they necessarily have to be as prepared because
there's no one to question there.
Right. Yeah. They can get up there and they can say raw team and that works.
I wonder if since it's something that isn't based necessarily in reason and fact and evidence, it's something that is kind of, taken on a faith in a way, this whole like, no, there's ghosts here. I mean, I want to believe
that
if that lends itself to being usually surrounded by people who don't require much in the light of like evidence. And so that when they're faced with an audience that is like, well, no, that's not evidence. You can't just say things,
It's funny. They tried to turn that around on the anti crowd by
really?
Saying, yeah, they tried to say, atheism is just another faith. It was a total derailment.
Oh my God. You guys know how I feel about that.
Atheism is just another.
I'm like, fuck you. Fuck you. You don't know what you're talking
about.
By the way, it's okay to swear on this podcast.
How
do you feel?
I'm giving
mixed signals. How do you really feel about that?
Fuck you.
Okay.
Anytime somebody says that, what they're trying to do, and I wrote a whole blog post about this like 6 months ago. Anytime somebody says atheism is just another religion, what they're trying to do is dismiss your entire argument by saying, look, you're just like me.
Yeah.
You're just like me.
Yeah.
But that means if we're wrong for it being a religion, then you are too.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You're dissing yourself.
Yeah, lending themselves any credibility.
But really what they're doing is they're trying to insult you because they know that you're an atheist and one of the things you really, really don't like is religion.
Yeah.
Because I don't hate theists, but I really fucking hate religion.
Because
religion is a vehicle for somebody to force their biases on others.
Yeah,
exactly. That's all it ever is.
Mechanism for control, sure.
Yeah,
it's a mechanism
to go,
I think gays are evil, so I'm going to use religion to manipulate other people into agreeing with me.
Yeah, I don't think we should eat pork, so no one gets to eat pork.
Yeah.
Like,
so saying atheism is a religion, what you're doing is you're projecting something that you know I hate.
Yep.
Onto
it's
me.
Self-projection is God. These are the things that I find icky, and therefore my God does too.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Well, and also, so when they do that kind of thing, I think that I can see them trying to turn that around. Like we talked about this amongst ourselves earlier, the whole like, well, if you were a real skeptic, then you would be open to the possibility of ghosts.
So,
oh, they're
things
actually,
like
the,
that.
The
yeah.
Well,
yes.
And my answer.
Yeah.
The answer you give, and the answer to that is so easy. It's like, well, yes, I am open to the possibility of ghosts. Show me proof.
Right.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I really wanted to ask the panel going, right to left, going from the pro to the anti side. What is your impression of the phrase burden of proof? What does that mean to you?
Yeah.
Because they were totally about that. Oh, we don't have any evidence, but we're going to talk about the philosophy.
You're on the
we're
affirmative
gonna try to
side.
Smooth
that's
you.
On you. Yeah.
That's like saying we're going to have a panel on wouldn't it be cool if there were aliens?
Yeah.
Like,
and
that's
really what that side was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be cool if Earth was seeded by aliens? And it's like, well, I guess, and you could write a really awesome fiction.
Exactly.
That's like a fiction writing workshop.
That
that's
would
what
be
that
cool.
is.
I think if I could find unicorns, that'd be pretty cool. They sound pretty sweet. Like, I don't know. Like, there's all kinds of things that would be really cool. Magic sounds cool.
Magic?
Like,
yeah.
Unicorns are like horse
would,
and then 10% cooler horse.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. What I love
horns
have
properties.
What I love
if
the Harry Potter world
like
was real? Yeah, fuck yeah. That would be awesome. I would want to be a fucking wizard.
Yeah,
I would kill for that. But you know what? I can't just sit here and wish Harry Potter into reality.
Exactly.
And you can't do that with ghosts or ancient aliens or anything else
like
that.
Are you sure you just haven't tried hard enough?
Yeah.
Well, Tim, if you were really skeptical, you would have found a way.
You would be open to the possibility. If you were really skeptical, you'd be open to the possibility of wizards.
Just open your mind. The evidence is there.
Yeah. You just
well,
blind
no,
to it.
And it wasn't even an argument from any kind of, there is evidence there. It's just, this is one story that we can tell about this. I mean, he literally got up there and said, so there's this picture that looking at historical evidence, looking at archaeology, looking at comparative religion, all that. There is a picture here that looks like something. Something.
That's what
that
he
was
said.
The word. Something.
It looks like something.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
It comes off like that guy from the History Channel with the big hairs.
Aliens.
Oh my
aliens.
God.
I don't know. So
aliens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, he's awesome.
Gosh.
He's the greatest guy ever.
Yeah.
Yes. It must be my blind devotion to atheism that is keeping me from being able to understand how that picture of something looks like something.
Yeah, your dogmatic atheism.
Yes.
Your dogmatic
yes.
belief.
Have, yes.
But there's
have
nothing.
You guys watched any of the Ancient Aliens show? Because it's on Netflix streaming.
I think I may have to now after
like,
this weekend.
On the History Channel stuff?
He has.
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
He was
on the History Channel. What the fuck?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Now they have H2. They made a new channel called H2 where they shuffled all that
bullshit
off onto H2, which is theoretical history.
Yeah.
I watched like 3 hours of that show in one sitting. Like it was comedy. It was great.
It's
like brain candy for skeptics like us, yeah.
I made it through a half hour of that show, and that was all I
just too angry.
I like my blood pressure where it is.
Yeah.
I enjoy a good bit of War Garble now and again.
I do. I like things that get me worked up, just especially when they're so ludicrous that it's just.
Sometimes I need it too.
It's like watching a sci-fi, one of those sci-fi original movies.
Yeah, sure.
It's like
sure.
watching Sharktopus or whatever. Like it's
like,
hilarious.
Look at this. It looks like a possible flying toy. How would they have known how to make a flying toy? I don't know. Maybe they knew about aero fucking dynamics.
Yeah.
Seriously.
I'm just a simple unfrozen caveman lawyer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your big city ways are a mystery to me.
In my defense for when I sat down and watched that show, I think it was Molly was at work. I had the day off.
You were
I was like
drunk.
Sitting on the couch drinking
yeah.
and watching History Channel with aliens. And it was just like, as I got progressively drunker, I was like, this is hilarious. Why aren't people watching this? This is like a comedy show. This is great stuff.
We have to do a cheap plug. We do a thing called Mock the Movie on Twitter, where we take really horrible movies, things like sci-fi originals, and we mock the living crap out of them,
awesome.
And usually half drunk.
So
awesome!
Yeah.
Is this like something that anybody can join in on?
Yes,
do it. You follow MockTM at MockTM on Twitter.
At MockTM,
and you announce it ahead of time.
Yep.
And then
it's like as it airs.
Yeah,
everyone just watches it.
We pick something
thing.
That you can get, you can see on Netflix or you can see on Hulu, so
sure.
most people
okay.
can see it, and then you
know,
just
like
synchronize
like
your watching. And,
it's
yeah.
like a group Mystery Science Theater kind of
yeah.
thing.
Exactly.
That's
a little more social commentary.
That's brilliant.
Oh, God.
That's great.
So, have you ever done 2012?
Stephanie and I, before Mock the Movie existed,
that was actually what started.
Not 2012, but...
The day
2012 Doomsday.
Oh.
That's different.
Which is a Christian knockoff.
Yeah, that's
of 2012.
That's more of a rapture type.
Yeah.
It's like Left Behind. Yeah, it's like Left Behind plus the climate change disaster porn. It's like it's a combination.
Yeah. And the Aztecs and the second coming happens in an Aztec temple.
Yes.
And, yeah.
Because they're, related.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah, the Aztecs.
Because, Doomsday.
No, they're just as real, is what it is.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
just as valid.
Just as valid. So.
It's just different ways of knowing
how it
is.
You have to take the letters in Aztec and rearrange them, you get aliens.
Aliens!
I guess that's one way of interpreting those letters.
Yeah.
If you're so skeptical, Tim,
you
notice that.
If you turn the Z on side,
if you turn them, and then if you remove
parts
of other letters, and if you change other letters, to different letters as he gets.
Oh my god, that's amazing.
It's a picture of
Bilderberg conspiracy.
That's one interpretation of the facts.
Yeah.
One possible interpretation
so
of the facts.
Do you want to mention the panel idea for next year?
Which one?
The
mentioned it. Tell
right, So we saw this aliens debate panel thing in the guide, and a friend of ours was like, that's so funny, like it's ridiculous. And I think this was before it was going to be a debate, just when it was going to be like their one side talking about it. And so we thought that would be a great improv structure for a bunch of comedians on a panel to just talk about how there are aliens and conspiracy theories and stuff like that. Do it straight. No one breaks. Like, lots of yes and, like... Well, that's only because the Bavarian bankers and the Illuminati and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, you know, that's why the price of blankets has gone up 10 times in the last 2 months. I don't know if you know this, but blankets cost more now than they ever used to because of the Aztec prophecies.
Yeah, it's directly related.
Well, yeah, because if the world's going to end, people are going to need blankets because we know what's going to happen. The sun's going to burn out. It's going to get very cold.
Right.
Well, that's
and
why
the Bavarians are building a device to try to, capture the sun, like a bottle so that we can all still use it. I don't know if they're in
it. Yeah, but my understanding is that there's only only a limited number of people that are going to actually be able to use that. So they're setting up some sort of lottery system.
I heard
that's going to be something like the movie The Island.
that's why the United States currency is no longer based on gold, is because they're planning on moving towards a blanket based economy.
Right.
And that's why the price is going up.
Well, that's all Obama.
We're never going to be able to do this panel with a straight face. It's like we're supposed to do it serious. How can you do that serious?
You just have to do it serious.
How can you do it for that long?
So, you know, when I get
even
to stuff...
Even the idea breaks, Tim.
When I get to stuff like the ancient... You know, and I remember... I grew up in the 70s, and back in the 70s, there were some PBS series that looked at the Vandana... But I forget how the fuck they got... Vandanakan. Vandanakan stuff. And, you know, when I was 10... And I didn't know, and I didn't know shit.
Yeah,
it was fucking awesome. It was like, ooh, aliens fucking landed on the desert in Peru.
On runways
look like animals, because that's what I would do if I was designing.
Seems like an efficient use of space.
It does. So that was the coolest thing ever, and in some ways that's what pisses me off about it, is because this kind of theory. That people are pitching.
Theory with scare quotes.
Yeah. This kind of thing is really fucking cool to think there were aliens visited Earth. And
it would be awesome.
That's why the pyramid blocks are so close together that you can't even fit a sheet of paper.
Because
of
aliens.
Technology. Yeah.
You know, they did something like that with it. Oh, there was a polymer that they found on there, but never mind that, you know, it was probably this guy that was like testing stuff.
Yeah.
Polymer or whatever all over it.
Some tourist track shorts.
Actually, I have another reason to be particularly pissed about that, because I write fiction, and damn it, I can do all this stuff, but I actually go to the trouble to put a story in there, too.
Sure.
At least, you have a coherent narrative. What did they bring to the panel? Nothing.
It's great fodder for, like, if you like role-playing games, like, you know, like to do, like, a conspiracy theory thing or anything like that. Like, it all makes a great backdrop or setting for a story, whether it's fiction or, like, a role-playing game or a video game or whatever.
Yeah.
But, like... That comes along with a set of rules that, like, you establish, and then, there's magic, but it works like this.
It's something like the Shadowrun stuff.
Exactly.
Where you're in, like, Neuromancer, but there's also elves and orcs and...
It's fun. It's super fun. Yeah. Like, you can't deny that it's really fun.
Yeah.
If it wasn't fun, we wouldn't have all this great fiction, we wouldn't have all these great settings, but... That doesn't make it real.
We're dealing with the real world here, and you can't just look at a line on a prairie and say, aliens! You have to have something beyond that to convince me that there are aliens there.
Yeah, like, first you have to say, well, we don't know how humans did it, therefore aliens.
See, we don't know that. Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, you know, we don't know
how
they did it, because it was 2,000 fucking years ago and we weren't there. That's why we know. You don't need to go any further than that.
Yeah.
I mean, you can figure it out, because archaeologists are smart, but...
as it happens.
Yeah.
For the most part, yeah.
But ultimately, when you look at something and say, I don't know how they did it, why should the immediate leap be aliens instead of, let's try and figure it out?
In my mind, it's no different than saying, we can't figure it out, therefore God.
There is another part to it than that. There is the nice little racist, we all came over from Europe and we see these cultures that actually have buildings that, you know, rival anything we did, and I don't know how they did it.
Yes,
they were primitive.
That's good.
I will give a plug for Scotty. He was very clear about that's not. He likes it because he thinks it's cool, not for that.
Right,
but there are other people.
I had never even considered that.
Yeah.
That's really good. That's a huge part of it.
And if you read Vandanakan, that's a lot of his argument, is they just couldn't have done that.
Yeah.
They could have.
Sure. Well, clearly they did.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Actually, incredulity about something that actually happened is pretty screwed up.
It's actually, I realize this is, you know, fucked up logic, but still, to me, whenever somebody starts the argument to prove God by saying, well, look at how unlikely it is that a planet would be a certain amount of distance from the sun, and and life would develop exactly the way it is, so that we would think about how improbable that is, and I'm like, it's not improbable at all. It happened.
There's
a 100% chance
that
it happened.
That happened. Yeah.
And how many rolls of the dice do we get? How many planets are there around? How many stars around? In how many galaxies?
Yeah.
I mean, but it doesn't even matter, because it's like, how improbable is it? Not at all. It happens.
Zero problems.
Yeah. Or it's just as probable as...
It's just as probable
all the other things
two
that
as there's
could
one,
have happened.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Like, it's
what do they
probably
call it?
Doesn't change.
Thing? There's an actual name for that fallacy. It's like, how improbable is it for you to hit a barn? I forget what the actual name is. I'm going to look it up.
I don't remember the name of the fallacy either.
Yeah.
But
we look at
the
sharpshooter?
Yeah. No, that's not. That's
you know, getting back to the thing about conspiracies, the thing about conspiracies is it's so easy to do it and make it sound reasonable. That PowerPoint karaoke is something that we do at Convergence that I've done a couple of times, and it's a blast. You go
congratulations
out there,
on your win, by the way.
Thank you,
yeah.
I kick ass. Woo! All right,
ooh,
so
pure
last
love.
Year they produced
and the
these.
Nipples.
Yeah,
and then
well, thank you.
You had, you were really cheating by showing the nipple.
You know what? When
they
tell you that that's what they want to see, you show it.
Yeah,
that's all I'm saying.
That's true.
So last year was the first time they did it at Convergence, and I was the first person up, which is nerve-wracking as hell, when this has never happened before. And the first slide they put up was a picture of Justin Bieber and George Lucas. And I forget there was some caption on the top, but it was Justin Bieber and George Lucas. And I look at it and I immediately decide that I'm going to tell this story about a conspiracy between Justin Bieber and George Lucas. And it was amazing. Every slide that came up after that, I could tie that shit
see,
in.
See, it's just,
you know,
just keep yes anding.
It's,
and it's
so,
just
it's
so
easy.
It's simple.
It's a perfect improv structure.
It is.
All you need is a bunch of people, and that's why for the panel, all you need is a bunch of people who are all going to be going, yep, I've heard that too. And that's how you get a conspiracy theory going. It's just a bunch of people sitting in a room all going, oh, yep, I agree with that. I agree with that.
And that's why it dies so quickly in a debate, because
yes.
you get
oh, yeah.
somebody else up there who says, well, no, actually, we also have these three pieces of information that tell us it actually happened.
And
this
it
yeah,
only takes,
yeah.
like, one good question to...
Yes,
invalidate.
Exactly.
And that's really
panel.
Hard to yes and. It looks kind of silly, because
yeah.
that's what they did.
Well, no, they
yeah.
perfectly wouldn't stand up to even just one person saying no, like, the whole time. Like,
yeah.
it would crumble right away.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. So, this has been a great talk about ancient aliens. We appreciate that. What we have now is five questions for each of you. And what we'll do is we'll be nice, because we didn't tell you about them ahead of time. Hopefully folks that we bring on as guests later will listen to the podcast ahead of time, and then
yes.
they'll know the five questions.
Yeah.
So they won't be like, oh my God, I don't know what to say. But I'm going to let Molly start.
All right.
And we'll let Jason do the first one and let Stephanie think about it. And then
that
the
sounds,
next one we'll make Stephanie go.
That sounds
great.
Okay.
Okay. So,
all right. So Jason, starting off, what is the best movie you've seen in the last month?
Like movie theater,
movie.
TV, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I always watch horrible, horrible
that's
movies.
That's fine.
What
was your favorite one?
The best one that I've watched.
Your favorite,
oh,
the one
geez.
You enjoyed the most.
yeah. No, yeah, the zombie movie with Ving Rhames, yes. It was
there's a
zombie
movie
apocalypse.
With Ving Rhames?
It's
zombie
a sci-fi
apocalypse.
Original.
2012, zombie apocalypse.
2012,
sci-fi
zombie
original.
Apocalypse.
But Ving fucking Rhames.
That sounds awesome.
He comes up with a chainsaw out of nowhere. And,
that sounds
you know,
awesome.
He's badass in it. Like,
yeah.
I don't know, like,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
that's
like,
what he does.
Yeah.
By hand, he kills a zombie tiger. It's
what? yes.
it was fantastic.
All right, I'm in. Zombie
yeah.
tiger,
yeah.
I'm in. All right, Stephanie, what about you?
Not a movie. If you have not seen Awake yet, see that.
What is Awake?
It is a... Oh, what is his name? Played the adult Malfoy. Jason Lewis?
Oh, okay, I know.
The,
yeah,
TV
I,
show?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, this is
we're
the TV show.
We're flipping back and forth?
Yes, we're
oh,
flipping
yes.
back and
we
forth between
first
two realities.
That.
Yeah.
That is awesome, and it does actually end with the
oh.
first season, so they're not stretching it
cool.
out,
oh,
doing
good.
Stupid things.
We stopped because
it
seemed like it was...
We weren't
wasn't
sure where
gonna
it was
go
going
anywhere.
No,
if they
it,
wrote an ending to it, then
so
I mean,
they,
just
so they have, it's a one-season
well,
arc.
You know, yes,
I love one season.
So it must be British.
He is British, and
oh.
he was the executive producer.
Oh.
So we don't get that much on
yeah.
American
right.
television.
Have you,
yes.
It reminded me a lot of Life
oh.
on Mars.
Yes.
Yes.
Quite a bit. Like,
that's another
like,
thing
yeah.
I got to see.
Which
that's
is
only
it's
in
great.
Some ways
it's
even
great.
More surreal.
Yeah.
Wow. That's an accomplishment.
All right, Nick, you get question number two. Goes to Stephanie first.
yeah,
he doesn't remember.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay,
we just wrote these yesterday.
I'm so early for me. Stephanie, who's your favorite atheist character?
Atheist character. God, there are so many to choose from because you know most of the sci-fi that I read growing up was written by people who just sort of took atheism for granted.
Yeah.
I am actually going to go with. James Schmitz, there's a book that he wrote, a standalone book, although most of his stuff is within one universe, called The Demon Breed, and I am blanking on the name of the main character, but she is a she's a scientist, she's an environmental scientist, and she basically deals with an alien invasion by turning the world against the invaders, and it's awesome.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Okay, the demon breed by whom?
James Schmitz.
James Schmitz, okay.
I'm going to go with Wolverine, even though it's kind of contentious.
Sure. No, I like that.
He goes through all of the Shintoism. He goes through Catholicism when Kurt Wagner was trying to convert him.
Yep.
But ultimately, in the end, he's like, I'm pretty sure there's nothing, and I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. Give me more beer.
I think that's something that most atheists go through. I mean, there are people that start that way, but a lot of us go through that. Well, I'm going to try out all these religions because I don't buy this one, but maybe this one makes sense until you reach the point where it's like, no.
Yeah, eventually you get through enough of them and you're like, okay, it's all crap. So
I read a lot of Marvel comics. I read all the X-Men books, all of them.
Yeah,
and I gotta say, like Wolverine is in a billion of their books. He's a big intellectual property. But Wolverine on his own, in his own book, in the hands of a good writer, is super introspective and interesting sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the stuff like that is great.
Yeah.
Like, it's really, really fun. Like, his backstory and all that stuff, like, it's... He's a really deep character because he's got so much history.
Yeah. It's too easy for somebody to just go and say, okay, well, Wolverine's just this ball of
claws.
You just make him explode everything.
Right.
Which is awesome in its own
right.
Which is awesome
in its own
way.
But
it's not as cool as when you think about it, his actual intellectual processes.
The coolest parts of him are not when he's, like, fighting and killing people.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. I agree. Also, he's Canadian.
Yeah. I love that.
And Jason is Canadian. We should point that out.
Yes.
So those of you that are upset by the healthcare ruling and think you should move to Canada, Jason will be your neighbor. So.
Yeah, as it
yes,
turns
that's
out,
a hilarious opinion.
I know. That's the dumbest thing ever.
Yeah, as it turns out, they're socialist medicine in Canada.
What?
I don't let them know that. They're
it's going to be really funny when they figure it out.
All right, so my question for both of you, we'll start with Jason, is what is your geekiest or weirdest hobby?
My geekiest or weird? Well, I'm a computer nerd. I do a lot of programming for fun.
Programming for fun?
Yeah. I made a Twitter bot in Python to do the Mock the Movie stuff.
Cool.
And that was just like, I have an afternoon, I'm going to hack something out. And
it
was kind of fun. Outside of that, I mean, I'm a big video game player and a blogger. I think that's geeky enough.
That's awesome.
All right, we will accept those. Stephanie?
I'm just not a geek. No, wait.
Yes, you are.
She's wearing a shirt with a quote from Portal on it, so don't lose her.
You know, honestly, coming to places like these and talking and getting up there and sharing the stuff is completely my geekiest hobby.
Awesome.
And it's so much fun to do. And I love coming to someplace like Convergence where everybody goes, oh, you know, atheist, that's kind of background, but yeah, that's me.
Yeah.
Where it's just sort of taken for granted, but every once in a while, you know, somebody will see that you're here and you're talking about science and you're doing this and that you do like atheism as a thing and they go, oh, right, we can do that.
I've had a lot of people this weekend be like, oh, I guess I never really thought about what I am.
Yeah.
And now they're thinking about it.
I mean,
we're
awesome.
Heathens walking among the heathens and they don't even realize it.
Yeah.
Geek conventions are the only place in the world where you get Christians who can rightfully, the only place within the Western, normally Christian world, where you can get Christians going, so we feel like kind of a minority here and that our perspective isn't really shown, and so we're gonna get together and do some small panel things, and we're hoping some people will show up.
Exactly.
And they're right, they are a minority here in some ways.
Yeah.
We're still filling rooms here though.
Yeah,
they are, and you
they
know,
always will. I mean, that's
they
the thing.
Always will, and that's
that's cool.
I don't hate theists. I don't like Christianity at all. I think they're wrong, but I don't hate theists. Mm-hmm. I don't hate people who are Christians. I have friends who are Christians who are fine people. I just don't agree with them.
Well, and a lot of them are geeks because this is. I mean, that perspective, that real perspective of being a minority is not something that most Christians in our U.S. society get a chance to feel.
Right.
So
and, they,
you
know, and they have no idea.
So
no,
I think
no,
so what they do
not
is that they say they're feeling it anyway.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about like religion as like a fandom now. Think of all the fanfic that people come out with.
Yeah. Oh my God, Jesus is awesome!
Yeah.
Would that make like the Book of Mormon like the ultimate Christian fanfic?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yes.
I mean,
oh my God, I love Gethsemane. It was so awesome. Oh, all right, we better move on.
All right. Fourth question. Stephanie first. What's your favorite sandwich?
Oh man, that's so unfair. Actually, no. It's a blue cheese cheeseburger.
Mm.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
I could get behind that.
Yeah.
All right, Jason,
yeah.
Your favorite
no
sandwich?
No mayo.
No,
no
mayo.
No
yeah,
mayo.
Yeah. Jason,
I'd go with on whole wheat, ham, and like as many kinds of cheeses as I can.
Mm.
Maybe jalapeno pepper.
Like grilled
or just
cold?
Sure, I'll grill it.
All right.
You want to do it like a panini in one of those things with honey mustard. Aha, I'd eat the crap out of that.
Yeah, that's the
really
best use of a George Foreman grill right there.
Yeah. I'm hungry now.
Yeah.
All right.
The last one, who did we start with last
Jason.
Time?
Start with Jason this time.
Jason this time. Thank you. What's the stupidest thing anyone's ever said to you about your atheism or skepticism?
Okay, I had this troll on my blog that basically
really?
Infested. Yeah, I know. You
it's
wouldn't imagine.
Yeah. Yes.
Infested my place over the course of 4 months, and this was just about the same time that I was getting engaged and going to marry my now amazing wife Jody. Shout out.
She was amazing then. She's just not your wife.
Yeah. No. She's gonna kill me for that. Thank you.
Welcome.
Way to poison the well. Anyway, the troll was he repeatedly argued against the possibility that atheists could love.
What?
Because
wow.
God is the source of all love, and atheists
wow.
are just engaging in chemicals. So my wife and I were like, I chemicals you, dear.
Oh, I love that. I mean, I chemical that.
That's entering the marriage canon. All right.
And for me, it's repeated, and it's all the time, and it's just the idea that skepticism has no place in social justice movements.
So,
feminism is not skeptical in any way. Anti-racism is not skeptical in any... Right.
Yeah, because it doesn't involve chupacabras. But, you know, as soon as chupacabras start fighting for rights, we're going to be right there.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's more people who just have no idea that, you know, people have been studying this thoroughly
for
the last 50 years.
And science is inherently skeptical, like by definition in nature.
Yeah.
Sciences are skeptical.
Yes.
Exactly. You have to, you know, correlation and causation is like a big deal when you're looking at social sciences and like that's
awesome.
Science.
Ultimately, if you're down with any social justice cause, you should be down with them all. And atheism and skepticism, those are social justice causes.
They really are.
Sure.
They really
trying to fix the inequalities caused by religion and caused by various woo peddling. Yeah.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Absolutely.
Well, you guys, thank you so much for being guests on our podcast, Stephanie Zavon and Jason Tebow.
Thank you.
I'm really sorry about
that. I'm giving the Tebowing.
The new Tebow, the real Tebow.
They both blog at freethoughtblogs.com. Can you tell us the name of your blogs?
Almost Diamonds.
And
Lousy Canuck.
Almost Diamonds and Lousy Canuck at freethoughtblogs.com. This, of course, is Geeks Without God. I blog at petsnakereggie.com, and you can follow us on Twitter at Geeks Without God. So thanks so much for joining us. We will catch you next time. Thanks to Tim Wick and Jeffrey Brown for our theme song, Geeks Without God.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and look at past podcasts at www.geekswithoutgod.com. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at Geeks Without God.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.